Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, very good morning. Welcome back in here on WQAM Hollywood. Omar Kelly, Dan Day along with you. And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, where we bring in our good friend Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. Perk, how's it going on this Wednesday morning?
Fellas, I am geared up for this draft, baby. Let's do it. I'm ready to see what the Dolphins do in rounds one and two. I trust Chris Greer in rounds one and two. After that, it kind of falls off. But I think they'll do pretty well in rounds one and two.
I gathered that from your recent article here, Perk. Chris Perkins, here's what the Dolphins should do with their first two picks in the NFL draft. So, Perk, take the floor here. It's all yours. Tell us what the approach would be here. Let's start with that first pick, number 21 in the first round.
Okay, so Hollywood, I don't know exactly. I say that their first two picks need to be an offensive tackle because there's no successor to Teron Armstead on the roster right now. And you have to assume this is going to be Armstead's final year. So offensive tackle and then edge rusher, because you don't know how Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are going to return and when they're going to return. Are they going to be back for the opener? Probably doubtful. When are they going to be 100%? And there's a couple of reasons that you have an emphasis on that. Number one, edge rusher is one of the most important positions in today's NFL, right? So you've got to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. You don't really have anybody behind Phillips and Chubb. Shaq Barrett and Melvin Ingram, Cam Good, but that you need more. You clearly need more. Number two, you don't know how either of them is going to look when they get back. How long is it going to take them to reach 100%? It might be, you know, September, end of September for one of them, and then Thanksgiving for the other. That's a problem because of number three, the Dolphins have to win as many games as possible to get a home playoff game. We've seen them win 9 games. We've seen them win 11 games. If you don't get that home playoff game, it's going to be rough on this team. So I say edge rusher, offensive tackle are in the first two rounds. I know you need a defensive tackle. You could need some cornerback help. You could need a guard. Plus, your offensive tackle can play guard also, like they did with Laremy Tunsil. So that's my approach.
You at least hope he can play guard. But here's the thing. You know what you have glaring needs at, offensive line, pass rusher, and then I would really just say defensive line and defensive tackle. Now, they've added 7 Joe Blows or, you know, basically journeymen to the defensive line. Are you comfortable there, Chris, or how are you trying to address that defensive tackle position? Because right now you only got 2 early picks.
You're not gonna get somebody of equal talent to Christian Wilkins. We know that. So you just have to do the best that you can with a group of veterans. You're gonna rely on Zach Sealer early in the season, especially with Wilkins not being there and Chubb and Phillips not being there. There's gonna be a lot of pressure on Zach Sealer to come through. There's gonna be a lot of double teams on Zach Sealer. He's just going to be out there on an island. Sorry. I'm getting an edge rusher first because that's more impactful in today's NFL. And then you've got to have a left tackle because of the people that you're going to have to protect your quarterback against, right? The quality of edge rusher in the NFL, you've got to be strong on the edges. So I'm just going to have to take that bite at defensive tackle, and I know that's rough to say, but you can't fix every problem in one offseason.
Okay, now let me counter that with you, Perk, and play devil's advocate, which you know I play so well. if I have Teron Armstead for one more season, if I have Kendall Lamb for one more season, and then the Driscoll kid who I just signed who also plays tackle, why can't I make it through this season with out adding an offensive lineman as opposed to defensive tackle? I got a lot of Jags.
Right. Here's why. Because Teron Armstead is injury prone. He's a Pro Bowl player, and we all know quality individual, quality player. But he's, what, 31 years old or 32, entering his 11th season. He's injury prone. Kendall Lamb behind him, one of my absolute favorite guys on the team, high-quality individual, quality backup. But he's 31. He's got backup back issues, and he's in his ninth year. So that's two kind of, I don't know if I can count on either of them. And then, like you say, you got Driscoll, you got Ryan Hayes. He's not ready. Last year's seventh round pick. You got Keon Smith. He's not ready. He's young. So it's an easily foreseeable scenario where both Armstead and Kendall Lamb cannot go one game. And then what? Or it could be a stretch, two or three games, because we know that they're both injury risks. Got to have something there. Got to have a plan for this year and next year.
Let's get into this quarterback conversation, because we heard what Chris Greer basically said. It was,
this is a slippery slope here, by the way. I want you to know, Perk, because everyone's got a very strong opinion on this one, to say the least.
Oh, he's been,
I'm sure you know, Perk.
He's been bombarded with his opinion for the Chris Perkins recently wrote a column in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and it's probably his second column, saying, don't pay Tua, don't give him the pay-setting contract, which is an opinion that I can't sit there and say that I disagree. But right now, Perk, are you telling me if I put, because you know I only deal with guaranteed money, if I say $120 million guaranteed to Tua on a deal that averages out to $45 million a year, which is what I think is a fair market deal for him based on the Kirk Cousins numbers, and he's a comparable quarterback to Kirk Cousins, you're not taking that deal? You're not signing that deal?
If I'm Tua, I would sign it. If I'm the Dolphins, I can't offer that, and here's why. I don't know what I have in Tua from the standpoint of health and from the standpoint of, does he make players around him better? Number one is a question. Number two, I don't think he makes players around him better. And that's not a knock on Tua. Look, Tua is a legit high-quality Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. I like Tua. I respect Tua.
Doesn't
Tua
sound like you do.
45. No, listen, Tua is not worth $45 million a year. And look, my column was not anti-Tua. If you read it, the column was really saying these quarterbacks are overpaid.
Yes,
you don't want to be like, right? You don't want to be like the Giants, where you're on the hook for Daniel Jones at a salary cap number of $47 million. Dallas with Dak Prescott, $55 million. Cleveland, Deshaun, $63 million. These are bad numbers. The Dolphins have a choice. I know what the market value is. Don't go along with the crowd. Be different. Be smart, because that $45 million restricts you from building. It restricts you from adding players around Tua.
But you know
that's
the nature of the business when it comes to the quarterbacks. They get paid drastically more than everybody else because they're the most important. Right now we did a list. We just did a list of ranking our quarterbacks for this earlier in this show. And do you know that I can only come up with 21 actual good quarterbacks in the NFL? There are 32 teams. There are only 21 that are, and some of them aren't even good, because I wouldn't even put Geno Smith or Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray in the good category. They're just adequate. So
agreed.
That's why they just get overpaid.
But, you can't. Don't join the crowd just because everybody else.
And then what are my options?
Dumb. You don't have to do something dumb.
That's true. My mom used to tell me that.
So here's kind of how I see things. If you're Tua, yes, you want that market value contract, 120 guaranteed, because you're going to tell the Dolphins, all right, you can mess around if you want, but if I go through the Pro Bowl and we win a playoff game, you're paying me even more. So, give me that. If you're the Dolphins, you tell Tua, okay, you can mess around if you want, but if you sprain your finger and miss two games, that guaranteed money from us and every other team in the league goes way down because you're injury prone. And God forbid if you have a knee injury or something like that. So this 120 might be the best guarantee that you can get. So both sides have a legit argument. I'm on the Dolphins side again. Just because I know that's market value, but that's a bad number because it restricts you so much. That's my thought. It's not anti-Tua, it's anti-system.
Okay, that's fair, Perk, but what are your options? You listened to Chris Greer yesterday, who said, I'm not even entertaining drafting a quarterback in first round. It's not even a possibility that I've even considered. We haven't even done the work. We're not interested.
I agree with him 100% on that. Like why? I know you disagree.
Yes.
But why? It's a waste of time. You're not unless Tua blows out his knee and
okay.
OTAs,
but that's my problem.
Right.
That is my problem with this franchise, and we've discussed it. We sat there in the media room and we kind of put our heads together and figured out when's the last time the quarterbacks actually competed. And it was 2012, where David Garrard smoked everybody, including Matt Moore and Ryan Tannehill. And then he got injured playing with his kid in the pool. And then for a week, Ryan Tannehill competed with Matt Moore, which wasn't even a fair competition, and then was gifted the starting quarterback spot. So when was the last time you think a Dolphins quarterback has earned their starting spot?
You'd have to go before that, because that was the last, like we said yesterday, that was the last legit competition. So you would have to go before that, because that one was given to Tannehill because Garrard got injured. So I don't know. I couldn't answer that question. But you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, and you have some obvious holes at defensive tackle, at edge rusher.
Don't do that, Perk, because I could list off – you could name all those positions, and I could list off a player, a veteran free agent that you don't have to break the bank for, like Calais Campbell or Justin Simmons or Odell Beckham Jr. or Tyler Boyd. If you want to go offensive line, I could do offensive line. There's a veteran that can outperform any of these young draft prospects in this draft. So don't do that and say, we can't take a quarterback.
This is a good offensive tackle draft, though. Have you seen the guys in the first round at offensive tackle?
Yeah.
And a lot of them can play guard.
Chris Greer said that not everybody fits our system and our scheme. So everybody's sitting out there saying, the Dolphins are going to get one of these six offensive tackles. No, don't guarantee. There's no guarantee on that.
All right. Well, let me flip it on you. What quarterback are you taking in the first round? Bo Nix? Michael Penix?
No. I might consider Michael Penix. You got a problem with Michael Penix? Here's my problem with the Dolphins. What the heck happened there?
Perk just left.
Nah, that's me, man. Fat fingers. I'll get him back.
Listen, here's my problem with the Dolphins situation in this. This franchise has always been caught with their pants down when it comes to the quarterback position. And they're going to consistently, if Tua suffers a hip injury midway through the season done, what now? And let's just say we play out the whole year and Tua says, I'm not signing a contract. I'm going to go into the year. You're going to put the franchise tag on me and I want to become an unrestricted free agent in 2026. What now? Wouldn't it be wise and smart to actually develop a quarterback?
All right, Perk, continue where you left off there, please.
All right, so where did I leave off?
Michael Penix.
Injury history. At Indiana, I mean, the guy, what he had.
The Dolphins drafted a quarterback with a broken hip at 5. Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Okay, but that injury thing kind of carried through, right? Last year was the only year he didn't have an injury. So why do you want to invite that again?
What I'm saying is have a young quarterback that you groom and develop for the future, and then eventually maybe he will compete with Tua or he will replace Tua. Why do you always, as a franchise, always have to have this blind loyalty and commitment? Are you just worried about the locker room actually believing in another guy?
Well, this is not the time to do that. You're trying to win a Super Bowl while you still got Ron and
Ramsey, Tyreek, and this free agent class. Are you? Is that really what you're trying to do with this offseason? Is that really what you're trying to do? I'm just asking you a question. Is that really what this offseason says to you? Or did we just patch this thing together and see if we can we just plug the tires so if we could ride it a couple more miles?
Right. That's all they can do, man. There's still belts showing on this tire right now. All they can do is slap a patch on it and cross their fingers.
Your brakes out here squeaking, you need to change them, but you just keep on riding.
Right. Smoke coming out of the tailpipe. Right. Oil leak. Look, that's the situation. But This team under Mike McDaniel is different from the Flo teams and the Gase teams and the Philbin teams. Those teams were put together, just get up to the playoffs. Just let us beat New England. This team is put together to win a Super Bowl, not get to the AFC Championship, not win the AFC East. It's built to win a Super Bowl.
And how's that going so far?
That's why you got all these guys.
How's that going so far, Bert?
Not well, but you got to keep trying because, look, next year, you're going to take a dip this year, but you've got to try and put it back together for next year. To me, the big thing is to do it when Tua is on his rookie contract or fifth-year option or on a reasonable extension. If Tua gets to, like, $45 million, I don't know how realistic your Super Bowl hopes are. So, to me, that's the race against the clock.
Perk, that was a lot of good Dolphin stuff there. That was, I don't know how much we again got accomplished.
But blah, 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 but I'm full of it. So
let's end it on a high note, Perk. I saw you out at the Heat Family Fest, so I know you're still involved with the Heat stuff. We got a big ball game tonight. Heat and Sixers. Jimmy Butler is going to go for probably 40 points tonight. Well, how do you see this one playing out?
Man, you know what? The Heat, I'll say this. I was talking with Barry Jackson about this yesterday. I think the Heat has had worse injury problems than the Dolphins over the last few years, but the Heat is just able to turn it on in the playoffs. So yeah. I'm going with playoff Jimmy, baby. I'm going with the Heat. I'm going with Spo. I'm going with what I've seen the last few years in the playoffs from this team. So I'm picking Heat.
Can Jimmy score 24 points tonight?
He needs this for his betting line.
That's
how I got to that number, Perk. Yes.
A very specific number. I'm riding with you, Hollywood. If you want him over, he's over. If you want him under, he's under. Are you asking me or saying that he will score above 24?
Perk, first of all, life is too short to bet the under. You never bet the under, all right?
Okay.
But all I right. will tell you, I did all take right. the over, yes.
There you go. Let's do it, baby. Playoff Jimmy. He's going for at least 25. How about that? We'll give you a little cushion.
All I need is 24, Perk. But 25 is even better. Thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas. We'll talk soon.
All right, Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. He's got a bunch of stuff up, by the way, right now on his Twitter page as far as the Dolphins draft and all of this Tua stuff that's going on. A lot of stuff here at Chris Perk, P-E-R-K. On Twitter, so check out Perk's work as well in the Sun Sentinel. We're going to take a pause. That was a spirited conversation.
It always is fun. When me and Perk get together.
That was fun. We got a lot more to come here on QAM. The Heat, again, as we mentioned, in action tonight. A lot of Dolphin stuff. A lot of texts, as you may not be surprised here to know, Omar, that we have coming in here. So we'll get to those when we come back here on a Wednesday morning. Hollywood, Omar, Kelly, and Dan Day in for Joe.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You describe the likelihood or unlikelihood, I think I know the answer, but I want to ask his fans what the answer to this question, of selecting a quarterback in the first round.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, listen, we always look at every position. I would say that's not someone I'm looking at the first round. It's not a position that we've even talked about. There's some good players. But, you know, we're very happy with Tua and where he is with us. So, but at some point, I wouldn't say we're not going to draft a quarterback at any point. I mean, we took Skyler here, you know, in the seventh round years ago. So you always look at opportunities for where you can add depth in your roster. And so I just think that goes across the board for any position.
Welcome back to WQAM. This is Joe Rose Show, Omar, Kelly, and Hollywood here with Dan Day. We just had Chris Perkins on joining us for a little bit of Dolphins talk. Chris Greer, you heard him from yesterday's press conference, pre-draft press conference, where he talked about the fact that, hey, quarterback is not on the table in terms of things that they want to do in the first round. Now, what the general manager of the Miami Dolphins also said was that They feel confident and comfortable at 21. They can move down. They could also move up. But he also spoke about the fact that more than likely, or provided a hint, more than likely, they would consider moving down in the second round and picking up later draft picks. But they're pretty confident that at 21, they're going to be able to find one or land one of the top 15, 16 players that they have projected as legitimate first-round talents. Because what a lot of people don't know is that most NFL teams, they put together their board, and it's not what these draft nicks put together. It's mm-hmm. their board is based on what are the blue-chip talents in this draft, and they're usually like 15, 16 players. And the Heat feel confident that a lot of these quarterbacks are going to be artificially inflated, and maybe even some other positions that they don't need, like maybe linebacker or the wide receiver. And I do think that they actually need wide receiver. And it's going to push down a talent that they believe is going to be a legitimate first-round pick for them at 21.
So I think the interesting thing about this draft, too, to look at is the Dolphins are theoretically picking at like 15, right? Because think of all those quarterbacks that are going to go, and the Dolphins are on the market for a quarterback.
I only think that three of those quarterbacks are going to go before their selection.
I mean, look, man, there's a million mock drafts out there.
Yes, there are.
All of them have at least four quarterbacks.
And they're always wrong.
But aren't those teams that need quarterbacks, like, why wouldn't those teams be drafted? Who do you think falls? Or what do you think, J.J. McCarthy falls out of the first round?
Yeah, I don't think he falls out of the first round. I think he's out of the top 20. And the Dolphins, in a dream scenario, J.J. McCarthy gets selected
in the top 20. I just think you're going to find someone that falls in love with these guys, and they're going to go. It's just too important.
There's so many that need them. So, yes, they're going to be artificially inflated. But the two that's a lock is Caleb Williams and I think Jake Daniels. They're going to be the first, second, maybe the third. I don't think either one of them falls to three. Then the question is, does Drake May get into the top 10? Does a team move up for him? Minnesota's one of those teams. They have two first-round picks, and they're probably pretty thirsty for a quarterback. And then you got J.J. McCarthy, who actually I would not draft before Michael Penix Jr. And then
we know you like Michael Penix.
I do like Michael Penix.
You've been very well documented.
I'm not saying
that
he's the answer or he's going to be the next Patrick
Mahomes.
But
some guy tweets to me. He's probably tweeting me this show because he gets all riled up when we talk about quarterbacks. He said that Michael Penix has a higher ceiling than Tua. And, like, that was, to me, one of the more insane tweets I've seen. And it's like, how can you say a guy has a higher ceiling when he hasn't played?
Athleticism.
So Michael Penix could end up being the best quarterback in that draft.
I think he can.
He could.
I think he can.
That is a theory.
Nobody said Patrick Mahomes was going to be the best quarterback in his draft. Nobody said Lamar Jackson was going to be the best quarterback in his draft.
Fine.
These teams.
You're entitled to that opinion. Now, with that being said.
Teams miss all the time.
He could also be the worst quarterback in this entire draft.
True.
Certainly wouldn't be the first time a guy like that, you know, a first-round quarterback ended up being a bust. So, like, to say a guy has a higher ceiling than Tua when he hasn't played a snap in the NFL, you never know. Look, if people that were evaluating this for a living
they don't know
knew how
about.
These guys were going to translate to the NFL, then they wouldn't draft Bryce Young. Like, I mean, it's
or
that
Mitchell
simple.
Trubisky.
Yeah. Like none of these guys would get picked if they were able to tell.
You're correct. They're
how
just
they're
guessing.
Going to translate to the NFL. It is hard.
We don't know.
Man.
There could be Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in his draft class.
Yeah, he was like the last.
And he's
pick.
The last pick.
Hey,
so
let me
you
ask
never
you another
know.
Guy. How about a quarterback who everyone said from when he came in as a freshman in college was going to be a generational talent. Went to Clemson. Plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars now. Trevor Lawrence.
I like Trevor Lawrence.
They
don't like him that much.
He
yeah.
was going to be
nah.
the guy. I mean, he was the number one pick when he first stepped foot on a field.
Yeah, and he's probably in line to get a massive Tua.
How good do you think he is?
Let's be
realistic with Trevor Lawrence.
I have him as my 16th best
10.
Quarterback. I have him as my 16th best quarterback in the NFL.
He made some horrific throws.
Yes, he did.
In that game. That
but
they
he made
had
some horrific throws in his
playoffs.
National championship game win over yeah. over Tua at Clemson. This isn't like it's a new thing. He's
but,
relatively
but you
inaccurate.
But admit that he had that hype around him. He had that, he can't miss. He's
yeah, absolutely.
Lock at number one. Like, he was that guy.
And he's going to get a $300 million contract.
So Caleb Williams has that going for him this year.
I'm not a Caleb Williams fan.
Well, a lot of people are.
I'm a Jaden Daniels
think that
fan.
He is the guy.
Yeah. because they believe in.
Here's the thing: you can't take Jaden Daniels. You can't because Caleb Williams is just such a consensus number one pick. That here's the problem.
Follow the crowd. Keep doing it.
You have to though. Here's the problem.
Why do you have to?
Because here's the problem: if you take Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams ends up being what people think he's going to be,
yep,
then that is like organizational malpractice, like 101, right? Like that is the biggest idiot move you could possibly make is passing on this guy. Now, if you take Caleb Williams and he's not very good and Jaden Daniels ends up being really good, like
it could be a Bryce Young and CJ Stroud situation.
That is, but
it could be.
Well, the jury's still out on Bryce Young, though.
But Caleb Williams does check.
He didn't look. Now,
exact same thing happened to Tua. Let's go ahead and say that.
No, dude, I think Bryce Young's too small.
Exact same thing said to Alabama. Too small, not strong enough arm. Bad team. No, but give him a little bit of time.
He gives me Kyler Murray vibes, man. I think
he doesn't even Kyler Murray. Yeah, Kyler Murray's got ridiculous athleticism.
So we don't want to give Bryce Young any time.
No,
even though he played on a terrible team.
No, his career is over.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know, man. He just didn't do it for me. And CJ Stroud is so much better.
Yes, he is.
That again, like it just makes you like. It makes you think. Like,
it's just proof that these teams are guessing.
How
they don't know.
Is this possible that they could have had both of those guys work out for them?
Yep.
Get them in a all that good stuff, and you still pick the wrong guy.
Yep. It happens all the time.
Like the way wrong guy. It's not like CJ Stroud had like a good first season.
Lamar Jackson. Look at Lamar Jackson. Like people were talking about him playing wide receiver.
Yes, they were. Someone brought that up earlier that the Dolphins passed on Lamar Jackson. Whatever. A lot of teams
That's not the truth.
A lot of teams. Everyone passed on Lamar Jackson. Okay,
yes,
let's be realistic. Except
for the good team.
And you are right, by the way, because I remember that draft clearly, and they did think Lamar Jackson couldn't play quarterback in the NFL. They thought he was an athlete and all that stuff. They didn't think he could play quarterback. And Baltimore took him and changed their offense.
So look at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was a second round pick because a lot of people really had concerns about.
Let's see how Jalen Hurts continues to progress here because I don't have as much faith in Jalen Hurts. But the Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels thing is very interesting. You have Drake May in there, who a lot of people think is going to be really good. I'm not one of them particularly.
You don't like the way he beat us up on the Hurricanes? He's had career games against the Hurricanes, I'm sure.
A lot of North Carolina players have had.
Sam Howell and Drake May.
Mitchell Trubisky did have a career game against the Hurricanes.
They had those two running backs that went for like 900, whatever. J.J. McCarthy, by the way, NFL Network, NFL.com, has him at 11. And Drake May at 12.
Dolphins dream.
So that's four quarterbacks at the very least that are going to go before the Dolphins.
That's a dream scenario for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because, again, instead of picking at 21, you're like, again, that theoretically makes you pick at 17 because you're getting, the 17th best available non-quarterback player, and you're not even in the market for a quarterback at that position.
It's going to be very interesting. Here's my thing. I don't think that they can put all their eggs in the offensive line basket. That's where most fans are. They think, oh, yeah, we're going to draft our future left tackle and play him at guard for the first season, put him on the Laramie Tunsil program. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a smart approach. The problem is there are teams that are smarter and better than you at evaluating positions, and they're going to probably take the quarterback, probably take the offensive lineman that you want. That's what history says. Now, and then you're going to have to settle like you did for Lee Meichenberg and Austin Jackson and keep it moving. But to me, the biggest need on the team is either safety, which you're not going to draft one in the first round. And the reason I say safety is a bigger need is because you've only got three on the roster right now. One of them is a fossil in Jordan Poyer. Good fossil, but he's still a fossil. And then the other is entering a contract year where he basically is going to shake you down like Christian Wilkins did because Christian Wilkins is his big brother. So he's got one foot out the door already in Javon Holland. You don't know if he's going to be completely healthy for a season because he basically spent the second half of the season watching the game because of the knee injury he suffered against the Jets. And he's going to be demanding a $68 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
And are you willing to pay that sight unseen in terms of production on the field? You like him, but do you want to break him off like Christian Wilkins now? And so you're really unstable at the safety spot. So safety is a major need, and then defensive tackle. Just because you signed seven Joe Schmoes doesn't mean that you have a starter.
Joe Schmoes. Huh?
How many Joe Schmoes equals a starter?
Yeah, that's the important question.
I just got to get over the fact that you just said Joe Schmo. All right, we got to take
I usually call them Jags.
Take a pause. Yeah, I know. Just another guy, we know. All right. A lot of texts are coming in, man. I hit those when we come back here. Heat in action tonight. Panthers win last night, so some good winning going on in town here. The Marlins also won.
Vaughn is a big piece here, and we'll spend some time talking with him. And we're excited for him to just get healthy and have a good year here. So he's an important piece. I said I love him, and my kids love watching his anime stuff on on Twitter that he talks about all the time. But he's an important piece, and we'll be talking with him here in the future.
Chris Greer doing a lot of talking to free agents, talking to players, Omar, working on contracts. Hollywood Omar Kelly, Dan Day in with you here on this Wednesday morning. Hope everyone is having a great start to things here. As the Dolphins, things are moving, Omar. The draft is coming up in 8 days from today. We will have the NFL draft with probably, I don't know, what, 5, 6, 7 million people watching throughout the various networks. By the way, do you see the WNBA draft got 2.5 million people to watch?
Excellent. Congratulations to the young lady. I saw some of them.
Pretty crazy, man.
Some of the selections.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark, listen, of course, and her jersey selling like hotcakes out there. Do people still say that?
Yes, hotcakes. Yeah. What's the difference between hotcakes and pancakes, by the way?
I think a hotcake is what they call it at McDonald's, no?
No.
Right? Don't they call
Dende?
It?
That's correct. It's a McDonald's thing. And I think a hotcake is more of a smaller pancake, while a pancake maybe has a little more thickness and size and depth to
okay.
it.
Okay, so do people actually make hotcakes at home, or do they make pancakes?
I would think, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
Anyway. I use the phrase, so you're looking at me like I know what it means. I you know, I don't exactly, I guess, but I think hotcake is like what you order at McDonald's.
McDonald's
like,
uses the term hotcakes, yeah, but they're basically the same thing. Rose under any other name.
Yeah, they look like the same thing.
Same batter, same things.
Yeah, we were in Disney. We went to McDonald's and got like all the breakfast stuff. I usually just get a McMuffin for myself, but like, you know, with the kids were there, so I got the hotcakes, as they call them.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Your kids are pancake kids?
I mean, I guess.
Or hotcake
kids?
Doesn't
everyone like pancakes?
I don't know. I'm a French toast guy, just be honest.
I like French toast.
Yeah.
French toast is good.
Yeah. You know? Do you like the French toast sticks that they give you at like Burger King? Or?
I do. I do like a good French toast stick. Okay. Yeah. I'll eat a French toast stick. I got to tell you, now we're talking fast food breakfast. I've tried Wendy's breakfast recently.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
They make a good sandwich, yes. And the potatoes
are
unique.
I like that. We are going down a different road here.
The Burger King sandwich is king to me. I'm not gonna stray from it.
A little greasy, no?
Greasy is the weight of my heart.
Over the years, gotten greasier.
Greasy is the weight of my heart.
You got to try the croissant at Wendy's, man. It's not quite as greasy. I don't know, but
okay. I don't like the way they do their egg. I like it more scrambled than just like an egg with white.
Well, that's the hard. Over hard, I think they call it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Poached, maybe?
No, not poached.
It's not poached.
It's not runny.
I don't eat fast food, so I don't know.
Yeah. You're vegan. What do you know about?
Someone said they're not made in a pan. That's why they're called hot cakes.
Okay.
No, what do you make them? That's not true.
What do you make them in?
Everyone makes, like, if you go to Waffle House, you order pancakes. They cook them on a grill.
They don't give you pancakes at Waffle House.
Yes. You only get
pancakes at Waffle House.
You cannot get pancakes at Waffle House.
Denny's, IHOP, whatever.
No, I clearly see that you don't eat the Waffle House.
I'm a Waffle House connoisseur.
I am a Waffle House man.
I haven't been to Waffle House in a long time, but.
Woo! Love it.
Are you sure they don't have pancakes?
They do not have
pancakes.
We'll
take like every breakfast place would have pancakes.
No, they
maybe
don't have pancakes.
Show one day.
They have. I think it should
known
be
for their waffles.
I think it should be called Hash Brown House. But yes, because right. Hash Brown is the number one reason that people go to Waffle House. And then the waffles are number two. But outside of that, what were we talking about before we got distracted by food and you made me
apparently
hungry?
Apparently, they don't have.
Of course, they don't have pancakes. Come on.
All right.
Did you question me on this?
The more you know. Hotcakes come from frozen, and you heat them up. Pancakes you make on a pan.
Okay.
I don't know about all that.
So Chris Greer talking about a lot of different guys.
Oh,
yes. Javon Holland is one of them. We were talking about before we started talking about pancakes.
Earlier in the show, I said that, you know, the Dolphins have very clear and obvious needs. Offensive line help. They need defensive line help. Not just offensive line help. Is a guy who is eventually going to be a tackle, but you can kind of play him at guard. That's a very specific player. He's got to have a lot of athleticism. Then you need defensive line help. And it's not just you need a 3-4 edge. You need another edge rusher just because of the situation that you've got with Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb coming back from injuries. They're both, by the time the season starts, they're both going to be about 9 months into their rehab of an ACL and Achilles. And then you need defensive tackle help. I know you've signed every Joe Schmo that you can find on these streets, and Chris Greer justified that in a question that I asked him yesterday by saying, hey, these are a lot of guys who fit what we want to do moving forward, which we don't really know exactly what that is at this present moment because nobody's seen Anthony Weaver's defense. But also, they have specific traits, and a lot of these guys wanted to be here because they felt like their careers could take off in this scheme. So that's where we are with all the additions on the defensive line. But outside of that, this team needs a wide receiver, especially now that Chris Greer basically acknowledged that signing Odell Beckham is not imminent. It looks like they made their offer. They're standing on their offer. They're not moving forward from it. And Odell Beckham, who made $60 million last year as a number three receiver, wants more money, which is, I don't think is any surprise to anybody. However, the Dolphins are standing pat on their offer. So that's not imminent. So then you need a number three receiver. Now, the question is, can a number three receiver be found in this draft? Can they? And I think that they can, because a lot of people say that receiver happens to be one of the deepest positions in the draft, right along with safety. Now, I don't think you have to use a number one pick, the 21st pick on a safety, because no safety is worthy of a first-round grade. But I think you can definitely use that second-round pick, the pick number 55. And to me, I want the University of Miami safety because Cam Kitchens, that dude, I believe – he's going to be a player in the league. I believe he's going to be a stud. He's not going to be a first-round pick, but he's going to be one of those guys who carries that UM flagship moving forward, and I definitely want him on the Miami Dolphins. And as I said earlier, Jordan Poyer is 32. He's entering his 12th season in the NFL, and Javon Holland is in the final year of his rookie deal, and he is going to shake you down. Trust me, he is going to shake you down. You are not going to sign him for anything less than a top-five safety salary, even though he's not a top five safety.
All right, a lot more to get to here. We have the 9 o'clock hour coming up on the show. By the way, apparently there's no difference between pancakes and hotcakes. They're just interchangeable. It's a regional term.
Okay.
So there you go. I didn't think there was a difference. We have gotten down to the bottom of that. Look, if we have accomplished anything on the show, we have now at least gotten down to the bottom of that. Now, I feel like the Dolphin stuff with Perk stopping by and you and I talking, I don't feel like we've accomplished a ton.
But we did rank our quarterbacks, and our top 10 is kind of similar.
By the way, Solana on Twitter has Jimmy Butler's face photoshopped onto LeBron's body from game 7 against the Celtics. Remember when LeBron did that, like, crazy evil stare at the Celtics?
Oh, okay.
And then went and like just took their souls. He put Jimmy's face on there. That's what we're expecting from Jimmy tonight, a big 24-point effort. You with me on that?
Sure.
Anything over 23.5 and we're good to go for Jimmy tonight.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.